Mutt and Callahan, Alex Reamer in the house. Patriots and Steelers, one of only two games on late Sunday afternoon. It'll be the marquee game on the Week 15 schedule. Adam Schefter of ESPN will be all over it. Adam Schefter joins us here, brought to you by our friends at Kaplansky Insurance and Town Fair Tire. Adam, Mutt, Jerry, and Alex this morning. How are you?
Mutt, Jerry, and Alex, good morning to you, and good morning to all of Massachusetts.
I think Patriot fans in Massachusetts pleasantly surprised the Chargers able to get it done last night, because now the number one seed still in play this morning, Alex, for the Pats.
That is an incredible thing to watch that last night. You're talking about a Chargers team that is down 14 points in the fourth quarter with under 4 minutes to go. They score 14 points, and then head coach Anthony Lynn has the gumption, the courage, the guts to go for the two-point conversion for the win. And without Melvin Gordon, without Keenan Allen, down 14 on the road in one of the toughest venues to win in the NFL against a team that arguably has been the best team in the NFL this season, with the crowd going nuts, with it being alumni day, with Tony Gonzalez going into the Ring of Honor, the Chargers improbably found a way to win and give New England hope that the Patriots still can get the number one seed.
They do have that magical, you know, team of destiny thing, feel to them now. They came back from 16 against Pittsburgh on the road, as you know, Adam, a couple of weeks ago. What do you think is a tougher place to play, a tougher game for the Patriots or anyone, at Kansas City or at L.A. in the postseason?
I think it's at Kansas City. That's the place you don't want to go in the postseason. I know the Chiefs have lost six straight home postseason games. I think I've been in person at four or five of them. And it's an incredible place to play. It's probably my favorite venue to watch a football game, Arrowhead Stadium, because it's just so like a college atmosphere. The tailgaters outside, it's incredible. And I know they're vulnerable in the postseason, and boy, the Chiefs, Kansas City, historically has done an unbelievable job of choking late in the season. But I just would not want to go there to face Patrick Mahomes in January. It's just, that's me. I'd much rather go to what is becoming, I think, a more and more realistic, uncomfortable scenario for the NFL, having to play the road to the AFC playoffs, going through to the Super Bowl at the StubHub Center. Like, I can't even imagine the Chargers having home field advantage as close as they are to getting it, to all these games being in a stadium where if the Patriots played there, there might be more Patriot fans there than Chargers.
Maybe that's why the Chargers are so
good.
That'd
be awesome.
On the road.
I think I'm rooting for that. That'd be great.
But Adam, I think let's say if we had two conference title games, though, in Los Angeles with the Rams and Chargers, if the NFL put one on Sunday, one on Monday, I think we may have a new tradition. Ratings would be through the roof.
Yeah, it would work out well. Not going to do that. I think they're, you know, competitive reasons. I mean, to me, it's worth looking at. Just they've never done that before.
Hey, do you think Mike Tomlin's coaching for his job Sunday?
No, I don't think that at all. I mean, no. I think that's one of those stories, Jerry, that maybe I'm missing something, that the fans are more riled up about than anything else. They've given away three straight games. They've gagged. It's been awful. They should not have lost at Denver. They should not have lost at home to the Chargers. They should not have lost at Oakland. But they did. Three straight, and they're reeling right now. And so, you know, I don't know whether this is a good or bad time for the Patriots to get them. We'll find that out Sunday. But, no, I think they could lose all their games here and out, which they won't, and Mike Tomlin still wouldn't be in trouble, and he shouldn't be in trouble.
But what, do you think the Steelers have underachieved, though, Adam? So he makes two Super Bowls his first few years, but haven't made it since 2010, three one-and-dones.
Won 13 games last year.
Yeah, is there around the league, do people think the Steelers have underachieved recently under Tomlin or no?
I don't view it like that. I mean, maybe they do, but I mean, you know, you got Ben Roethlisberger playing in a conference with Tom Brady. The Patriots have dominated. The Steelers have had a tough time getting past them. And as you mentioned, they won 13 last year. They were in a great spot until 3 weeks ago. They're relevant and competitive every year. They have not won as many Super Bowls as their fans would think, but it doesn't mean that people are thinking that they underachieve. I don't think that at all. I don't think that, no.
Adam Schefter joining us. Your colleague, Jeff Darlington, you know, added another layer to Patriots and this drama, suggesting this past weekend the relationship, Adam, between Belichick and Brady is better than it's been in a long time, that if it continued the way it was last year, it would not have been tenable long term. Your thoughts, and you're hearing the same thing that your colleague is hearing about the Brady-Belichick relationship in 2018.
Wait, so you're saying it's better than it's been?
Better than it's been, yes. Better than it's been recently.
You know, the only thing I could say, I was unaware that Jeff Darlington even reported. Where did he say that?
Sunday morning, I believe on SportsCenter, correct?
Or Countdown,
yeah,
I think.
Countdown, yeah. We were on the air doing our football show, and he popped up and said that it's better than it's been.
They're vibing better, I think.
Yeah, vibing better.
Also, people think that's that why Josh McDaniels is looking around, because Belichick has decided he's going to stay a while.
I don't know about that. I think, you know, my guess would be that Josh, every year, you know, Josh is a top coaching candidate, one of the top coaching candidates. So every year, it's sort of like, you know, if you were being quartered every year, it'd be fun to be quartered and recruited and listen to your opportunities to get a big raise. Why would you not? I don't think that has anything to do with Bill and Tom vibing better. And in terms of them vibing better, you know, I didn't hear Jeff say that, and I don't doubt that he did, and I don't doubt that it's true. But I just think, to me, it's interesting that we spend as much time as we try to assess the relationship when, I mean, I don't care whether it was last year where it was questioned or this year where it's not being questioned and they're vibing. You know, the fact of the matter is the two guys, sure, at times, like any relationship, you know, your spouse, your best friend, there are peaks and valleys. It gets better, it gets worse. There are good times, there are bad. And I don't mean to oversimplify it, but is it really anything more than that?
No, I think it's the names involved here and the stories that came out with Seth Wickersham last year and the inevitability that it's going to end at some point, which leads you back to McDaniels. We've seen now since we last talked, yeah, Adam, a million openings now between Green Bay and Cleveland. Yeah. There'll be a bunch more. What is the likelihood you think Josh McDaniels gets one of the openings next year?
Well, if he wants one, he will get one. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind about that, because we get, on average, 7 head coaching changes per year. We've already gotten 2. We'll get minimum 4 or 5 more. I mean, there just will be. So it'll be 6, 7, 8 openings. Now you tell me who the 6, 7, 8 assistant coaches are that people are targeting. And last year, when everybody hired all these coaches, the majority of them were offensive-minded coaches. And the year before, they were offensive-minded coaches. And they're always offensive-minded coaches. And so if they're always offensive-minded coaches, who would be the top guy in that area? Josh McDaniels. So that's why it was almost laughable last year when he decided to say no to Indianapolis. That people, oh, he'll never get a head coaching job ever again. Well, 1 year, he's got to wait till he's a candidate again. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to take one either. We've seen how picky and selective he could be, and he should be, because he's going to be a candidate every year there, as long as Bill and Tom are there and he's thriving in the system and he's demonstrating the work that he does. So unless he's entirely comfortable with that situation, he's not going to jump, unlike other coordinators and coaches who, when they first get an opening, they can't wait to get a head coaching job. Josh has proven he's going to be very patient with this and very picky, to the point where some people think it's a detriment, when it's not. It's just not.
Hey, because speaking of...
There aren't enough quality coordinators that other teams are coveting as their head coach.
Right, and I think McVay and Nagy have made changed the way people are looking at this, and they want the next smart, young offensive coordinator because those guys have done such a great job. But speaking of Bill and Tom, the people around the league you talk to, how surprised were they, how thrilled were they to see both Bill and Tom kind of blow it last week at Miami?
Well, listen, Teddy Bruschi tweeted halftime, you know, after the first half ended when Tom took the sack and they lost the field goal. I don't know the exact two, maybe you guys would, but, you know, he had the kind of look on his face that he did when Stephen Smith said what he said yesterday. Right? I mean, you know, that was the tweet equivalent of Teddy Bruschi looking like, what did I just say? Yeah. We're here. Because he tweeted out like, that is inexcusable, and you don't see the Patriots do that. And then they did it at the front end of the first half, and they did it at the back end of the second. Like, they don't do that. They always have an advantage over everybody in terms of basic fundamentals. And the fact that around the league, 75% of the teams beat themselves They just beat themselves. And New England almost never does that. And in this particular case, it contributed to it, which you don't ever see. So people are surprised to see New England make mistakes. It's usually other teams that make mistakes. I mean, everybody in New England knows that, right? Like, that's why it's one of the reasons they've had so much success, because they're so far ahead of everybody in all the basic fundamentals. They don't make the little mistakes that beat them. And last week they did.
Adam, Chris Gasper had a column in the Globe this week. Miami game is more evidence that Bill Belichick isn't immune to failure. And he goes through some questionable decisions Bill's made over the last year, of course, starting with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, going to other things like having Brady go up for that pass against Tennessee. Maybe that's where these knee issues started. Of course, putting in Gronk from McCourty last week. Obviously, Belichick is still one of, if not the best coach in the game. But do you think that there's some talk? Gasper framed it. We've spent a lot of time talking about Brady slippage at 41. Maybe Belichick in his later 60s now starting to slip a little bit. Is that a discussion point at all around the league?
No, I would not buy that at all. I just would say this, that he still is the best coach in the game. And I'm sure that there are some decisions he makes that he'd like to get over and do over and have another crack at. I mean, that's the case with anybody in any line of work. And you go through this, you figure out what you should have done or shouldn't have done. And I'm sure that he would play that differently at the end of the game last week against Matt. But it doesn't. It's not like he's slipping or losing. Like, hit a couple of bad calls. Everybody does. You know, Tom Brady has bad games. LeBron James has missed shots. I mean, it just happens. I don't view it beyond that. You know, that he's slipping, that the game is passing him by. I mean, I think the idea of that is crazy.
All right, speaking of slipping, is Stephen A. going to be okay, Adam? That was a rough day for your guy yesterday.
Yeah, that was I'll just say this. Thankfully, he was able to make light of it, because that Teddy Bruschi reaction, that's the new crying Jordan, I think.
Yes. It'll live forever in meme infamy.
Yeah, oh, my God. Teddy's reaction was priceless. And I don't think Teddy realized he was on camera at the time, to be perfectly frank. So that's kind of funny, too. But he was, and that's what happened, and everybody was able to laugh at it. It was very funny. It was very entertaining.
I had a lot of fun with it yesterday. Adam, thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Happy holidays.
You too. That is Adam Schefter. He's brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance and Town Fair Tire on